Good evening. I'm Erin Granger with the KUAC Newsminer Update. A death in downtown Fairbanks this morning is being investigated as a homicide. According to spokeswoman Yumi McCullough, Fairbanks police responded to a report of a weapons incident at the Alaska Motor Inn at 3 a.m. and found a male gunshot victim. The man was treated at Fairbanks Memorial Hospital but did not survive. Police are asking that anyone with information about activity in the downtown area between 2 a.m. and 4 a.m. today contact them at 450-6500. The Trump administration is taking the first official step toward allowing oil drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. The Alaska Energy Desk reports that the Department of Interior released a notice yesterday saying it will hold no fewer than two oil lease sales in a 1.6 million acre portion of the refuge known as the 1002 area or the coastal plain by December 2024. The announcement kicks off the first public comment period on drilling in the refuge. Interior said it will hold public meetings in Anchorage, Arctic Village, Fairbanks, Kaktovik, and Utqiagvik. It did not announce any meetings outside Alaska, and Kara Moriarty, president of the Alaska Oil and Gas Association, thinks that's a good idea.
I'm encouraged that the Department of Interior is not having a scoping meeting in D.C., and they're not having a scoping meeting in California or Washington or other areas of the country, that their sole mission in life is to keep our resources locked in the ground.
Moriarty says that's because a lot of the opposition to drilling in Anwar comes from the Lower 48, while many Alaskans support it. But Bernadette Dementiff, executive director of the Gwich'in Steering Committee, says in-state opposition to oil development in the refuge is growing.
You know, this place has been protected so long that people just thought it would never open. But now that it is, I have faith that many Alaska Natives are going to stand up against it.
The public now has until June 19th to submit comments to the Bureau of Land Management. Interior will announce the times and locations of the public meetings in late May. A renewable innovation competition sponsored by a University of Alaska group encourages participants to fail fast. Elizabeth Harbaugh with Alaska's Energy Desk explains.
Huey Winston and Susanna Caldwell are hammering out the final details on a renewable energy website for Volt 49. A competition organized by the University of Alaska's Center for Economic Development. They're one of four teams from across the state who are given a unique challenge related to renewable energy in Alaska, and they have 5 weeks to solve it. Winston and Caldwell's team was tasked with powering an off-grid cabin with renewables. Winston says their concept has changed a lot over the past few weeks. His first idea was a backpack filled with equipment.
Then it evolved into like this cube, which was made of solar panels that kind of fold out.
But then, 3 weeks into the competition, the organizers hooked the team up with a solar energy expert.
To me, what I heard them say was like, yo, that's never going to work. It's way too heavy. Because you have a battery pack.
The expert also pointed out another tiny issue with the whole cube idea.
He was saying every solar panel is rectangular, so there's no way to make a cube with solar panels.
Finding out their cube was a flop was a big setback. But organizer Julia Casey with the Center for Economic Development says that's exactly what the Volt 49 competition is designed to do. By forcing teams to develop a renewable energy tool in 5 short weeks, they fail fast. It's based off what's called the design sprint, an exercise born in Silicon Valley. She says putting garbage ideas out there isn't a bad thing, especially if you can do it quickly.
Usually there's still a nugget of gold. Like there's a nugget of gold in every idea, but you have to figure out what that is and what you're solving.
She says the goal is to unearth those nuggets of gold a little faster. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Elizabeth Harbaugh in Anchorage.
Alaska Airlines has announced a new policy on emotional support animals. Alaska Public Media reports that under the new rules, which take effect May 1st, passengers traveling with emotional support animals will need a signed affidavit that the animal is trained to behave in public and that the owner accepts liability for its actions. Passengers are already required to have a letter from a mental health professional and a health certificate for the animal. All of the documentation will have to be provided to the airline at least 48 hours before the flight. Alaska Airlines spokesman Tim Thompson says the changes are in response to increasing problems with emotional support animals on planes.
We've had incidents of barking or animals running up and down the aisles. In some cases, they've bitten customers, they've bitten employees.
The new restrictions only apply to animals assisting passengers with emotional, psychiatric, cognitive, or psychological disabilities. The policy change also limits the kind of animals allowed.
So now we're not allowing amphibians, goats, animals with tusks, horns, hooves. There is an exception for trained miniature horses.
That's on top of animals already prohibited by the airline, including hedgehogs, ferrets, insects, rodents, snakes, and spiders. For more on tonight's stories and others, go to newsminer.com or KUAC.org. I'm Erin Granger.